And speaking of history, it is time now for Oh the Humanities, taking a look at humanities scholarship research and events on and just off campus with the one and only Max Orr, who is a historian himself and also heads up Carolina Public Humanities on the UNC campus. Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Max, how are you?
I'm doing just fantastic. It is a celebratory weekend. Not only did the weekend previously UNC graduate, but this weekend I was in Washington, D.C., watching my daughter, Sarah, graduate from George Washington University. Yes, one down, two more to go, including our guest today here in our seat, seventh grader at Phillips Middle School. I thought that we could get her to graduate from college by bringing her up to the graduation, but it doesn't work that way. But anyway, so she's here for Bring Your Daughter to the Radio Day. Welcome, Elise.
Elise, how are you?
She said, "You're not going to make me talk, are you?" And anyway, feel free to chime in anytime, Elise. I did bring you some gifts related to today's topic, also related to today's date. Today, on May 20th, in 1802, someone I know well, not personally, but Napoleon, that guy, passed a law, which is on the bad side of Napoleon, in which he reinstated slavery in France's colonial possessions, which mm-hmm. the French Revolution had abolished. And under pressure from his wife, Josephine, he reinstated. And it's not fair to blame Josephine, of course, because he did it on his own. But she was from the colonies.
So is that
there.
Before or after the Haitian Revolution?
This is going on about at the same time, because, in fact, he was going to be sending troops under his brother-in-law, General Leclerc, to Saint-Domingue at Haiti now to suppress that. So it's all of a piece, sort of taking back this semi-independent place that hadn't fully been an independent colony, an independent nation at that point, but was moving in that direction, and to go and reconquer the territory, reestablish slavery. Mm-hmm. And in a similar, it's related to our topic also, in 1967, on May 20th, Mobutu in what was soon to become Zaire, was the Democratic Republic of the Congo, founded the Popular Movement of the Revolution. And this was the sole one-state party allowed throughout all of his dictatorship. And I think there's a connection here with our topic. I'm going to be presenting as part of this really wonderful initiative. I heard all these public humanities things you were discussing. This wonderful initiative called the Hillsborough Classical Film Society up in Hillsborough, and they are going to be screening The Battle of Algiers, which is something I happen to know a fair amount about, mm-hmm. having taught now 8 or 9 years in a row the course at UNC on France and Algeria. So, and I understand this is a movie that you have seen and know something about.
I own this movie. I own the Criterion version holding up. Yeah, no, this is a fantastic movie from 1962, is that
1966.
Correct? 1966,
and there's a story behind all of that. The reason I brought up that, in fact, Algeria got its independence in 1962.
That's
so your
the
date,
year I'm
you
remembering.
Got a great
yeah,
date
yeah,
there
yeah.
for
okay.
that. In 1965, the first president of independent Algeria, Ben Bella, was deposed in a coup d'etat. And that was going on while this movie was being filmed. And so this film, which is a really interesting mixture of a political statement, a state propaganda piece by the Algerian state, and as well as being just a really cutting-edge way of doing film, had a lot of political influences going through it, including suddenly becoming a mouthpiece for propaganda of mm-hmm. what is going to become a military dictatorship. So it's very, very complicated where it fits in the time frame.
If you're listening out there and you like movies at all, this is a movie that doesn't get nearly as much press or discussion as it should. But it's such a fascinating movie, and the role it plays, as you mentioned, in history mm-hmm. is so fascinating, and the way it was filmed is fascinating, and everything about it is just this incredible piece.
We won't have time to do everything we
time,
want to
yeah.
do, but it's
let's break down the event itself, which is going to be this Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m., the Hillsborough Classic Film Society, which you can find out more about at hillsboroughclassicfilms.com. They do these film screenings every month, right?
Yeah,
I believe.
So it's Michael and Gail Corrado. They're, mm-hmm. Michael is a former law professor, and Gail taught in the School of Public Policy. And they have just, like I said, I love hearing about public humanists. Instead of just retiring, they decided to give back to the community with this wonderful forum for doing showing great films, having great discussions, and every time they do have a scholar or someone who pretends to know something about the film, I know a lot about this one in my case. But at any rate, they we all come and have a really wonderful discussion. I think I just can't commend them enough for doing this public humanities work.
And some of the films that they've done just in this particular season, going back to September, On the Waterfront, which is a great movie, Paths of Glory, early Kubrick, Cranes Are Flying, which is, you all know more than me about because I don't know that one, but Double Indemnity, In the Heat of the Night, Vertigo, which is my favorite Hitchcock, The Bicycle Thieves, The Third Man, and now Battle of Algiers.
I think about the range of films there, too.
They're all
classics, but all very different, you know, and this film in particular, I think, what is so neat, you mentioned something about how it's so important historically. You know, it's this really interesting testament of an era in sort of anti-colonialism and world Marxism in the 1960s. It also goes on to have this incredible reach beyond Algeria, beyond the colonial setting, where it's really influencing the Black Panthers. Mm-hmm. It's influencing the women's movement in the United States. And of course, it has this other side to it in which people were looking at this film, for example, in the Pentagon in 2003 and 2004, when they're looking at urban conflict in Iraq. They're saying, this is how
they screened this movie
at the Pentagon or at the Army
War
College.
That was when I first saw this movie, was in that context we watched it. And yeah.
And it's remarkable about the film is that it's, you know, like everything you watch from a certain era, it's quote unquote dated, right? Uh-huh. You know, in terms of some of the ways expectations. But I have shown this film to thousands of undergraduate students, and it is just universally loved. By the end of it, the students are like, wow, I didn't expect that. Maybe it took them a half an hour to get used to kind of the black and white herky-jerky. People get shot and they fall down in kind of a, you know, an old school way, if you will. But all of that goes away, and they just come out of it saying, that was an incredible experience.
And some of the actors in the movie are essentially playing themselves because these were people who were revolutionaries, and then they're acting in the film.
Indeed. In fact, Giulio Pontecorvo comes out of this...
Who's the director,
right. Yes. I should mention this, and along with Franco Salinas, the co-writer, the two of them wrote this, again, having to navigate these political strands, right, from the Algerian government saying, no, that is way too propagandistic, to their own sort of Marxist inclinations, and then the Algerians are like, no, this is about Algeria and the Algerian. So navigating that whole thing. But the cool thing was is that they were really influenced, especially Pontecorvo, by the neorealist style of, say, Rossellini and whatnot, getting the sort of newsreel type footage, what we come to know as, you know, cinema vérité, and very much influenced by that. And there's only one actor in the entire film who is a professional actor. And I'm not going to say who it is.
I think I know who it is.
This is one of the things I tell people. We'll do this on Sunday. I'll say to them. They'll probably now listen and know the answer ahead. But I always say, just guess at the end of the film who the real actor was. Because you're absolutely right. Some of the people, Sadi Yosef, plays Jafar in the film now. So this is the real guy who organized the bombing campaign in Algeria in 1956, which we should say that's what the Battle of Algiers is technically about, is this period between 1956 and 1957 when there was a bombing campaign against the French state and the reprisals of terror, of torture. So again, bringing up these obviously, unfortunately, timeless concepts. But he was, you know, looking at this, and so this guy, Sadi Yosef, plays a character, a fictionalized character, but essentially who is himself.
Yeah.
And is behind help writing the screenplay.
Yeah.
And the
incredible thing about this movie, too, is that it's a propaganda piece. It's very much in favor of the revolution, but it does not shy away from showing the nasty things that the revolutionaries did, nor does it shy away from treating many of the French people on the other side as very real and likable characters in spite of what some of the things that they do.
And it's what's interesting there is this, first of all, it's a sense of there's a character in the film that's sort of the subtext behind all this. That's the Algerian people. And so between these two actors of the logical French state that is trying to sort of has this real logic of it behind its colonialism, trying to say, you know, well, we rationally need to, we can't bring peace to these people if they're going to be bombing us. Yeah. And between another, you know, very clear, rational reason, we're not getting anybody's attention. We need to go, we've been having violence against us for 130 years. These are the Algerian people. So we need logically to react with violence as well. And so they play this really well with this third party. How are the Algerian people behind here? And how has this become a really revolutionary movement? And I think they do that so well. And you can't do that if you just make caricatures
yes.
of the two sides.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Speaking with Max Oren, and again, we're talking about the film Battle of Algiers, which the Hillsborough Classic Film Society is going to be screening this Sunday from 3 to 6. And this is going to take place at the Orange County Public Library up on Hillsborough on Margaret Lane, up in Hillsborough on Margaret Lane. Max is going to be speaking there about it. So as we're geeking out about this movie, for people who don't know, why is the Algerian Revolution so important? What is it about that is so galvanizing?
Well, you know, there's colonialism and then there's settler colonialism. And, you know, I think all colonialism is, the domination of another territory by an outside power, taking resources, declining rights to the subjects there. Mm-hmm. That's sort of a given. But settler colonialism is particularly difficult to resolve because of the presence of large populations of foreigners. Now, mm-hmm. We know that certainly the biggest one case studies we look at in the world since 1945 are Algeria, South Africa, mm-hmm. and of course Israel and Palestine. And I just need to mention these to see how thorny these things can get, right?
Yeah.
And in a way, so when we look at this case study of this particular, this is one way these get resolved, right? It's not, I don't want to say it's a great way, but it's one way is through the complete removal of the settler population. Mm-hmm. The European population of Algeria was about 10%, about 900,000 to nearly 1 million people left in the course of 3 months in 1962. Mm. Compare that to, say, for example, South Africa, where you have a truth and reconciliation process, or that compare that to Israel and Palestine, where it's is a two-state solution or trying to figure out some way to square this circle. And, so this is one way of looking at this. Of course, when I do talk about settler colonialism, the other way to handle it is the United States, which is to forget
yep.
that we are settler colonialism par excellence.
Yeah. And we think of the American Revolution as being an anti-colonial revolution, which yeah. it very much was not.
I tell my students in France and Algeria course, I said 1962 would be as if the Native Americans won
yep.
the revolution and kicked everybody out,
yeah.
know, all of the Europeans back off of North America, and that, of course, did not happen.
Yep. So what should people be taking from this movie today?
Well, I think a few things. One is the power of action, that, there is a logic behind violence. And I hate to, as if you need to understand why people are acting the way they do, would never condone violence. And I think this movie does a good job of showing the side effects of it. But there is a logic behind it that people are using, and it's sort of the anti-colonial complaint is echoed a lot in some of the complaints of what we might call terrorists today. And so some way to understand that, there is a political reason behind mm-hmm. a lot of these actions. And if we can sort of understand where the people are, where they fit between these two vying violent forces, it might give us a little sense of how to extricate ourselves from some of these, conundrums
yeah.
in which people have different exercise of power.
And I think just more fascinating about this movie is the fact that it is a propaganda movie and it's so real.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you think about other propaganda films that have been made throughout history. There's an unreality to it. But with this one, you really feel the characters acting in their world. And it's as if you're watching a documentary.
And, well, of course, yes. I'm going to say yes and no, because it's so real and it's heightened. The realism is heightened by this also kind of crazy aspect to the film. Ennio Morricone's mm-hmm. soundtrack, which is
yeah.
this incredible, like, driving,
yes,
drumming
yeah,
soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so this movie has this fever. It's like real, but as though you're in a fever.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
it's very, really
which is very much what the Algerian Revolution was.
Sure.
Sure, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, the delirium of trying to figure out rationally how mm-hmm. to extricate yourself from this situation. Yeah, it's a very fascinating film.
Yeah, I got into this movie by reading Frantz Fanon, which is like a whole nother mm-hmm. thing that we could talk about for another hour and a half, but it really is a great movie. Other things that people need to know about the screening?
Well, the screening will be going, there'll be a pre-discussion. I'll have some ideas. I'll introduce the folks a little bit to who Pontecorvo was, Salinas, the screenwriter, talk a little bit about where this film fits in film history. But I will also do a little bit, I've only got a short amount of time, I've got to watch the movie, to give a sense of that history of 1830 to 1962, mm-hmm. because I think it's, if you just jump right into the Battle of Algiers and you say, it doesn't look so bad in Algiers, why are they so angry? And to just give a sense of just how discriminated against these people were and what their complaints were and how angering it is. So,
if you want more information on this, go to HillsboroughClassicFilms.com and get more information. And again, the screening is this Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Orange County Public Library.
I would also like to encourage everyone out there before Sunday to come on down to Flyleaf Books on Wednesday for Jazz, Giants of North Carolina Jazz, and get ready for next week, our bluegrass performance. We did some practicing, and we're sounding good and tight, and it's coming together. So
awesome.
There'll be a bluegrass performance and discussion next Wednesday as well. And, of course, the following two Wednesdays are also musical topics of Flyleaf Books.
Sounds good. Humanities.unc.edu for more information on that. Max Orr, thank you so much.
Thank you. Elise, did we do a good job?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all that matters.